Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, today's daf is Kuf Chaf in Maseches Yevamos. It is the 921st daf in Shas. We are going to pick up with the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Yutes Amud Beis. That's going to continue with a topic that had been discussed on Kuf Yud Zayin, and that is that there are certain women, even though a woman is kosher to say Eidus for Yevama, however, and cases of Iguna, nevertheless, if there are two women who tend to disagree with each other, then in such a case, they can't say Eidus for each other. One of the examples is a Tzara, and our Mishnah is going to discuss examples of Shtei Yevamos saying Eidus, and the implication of one saying Eidus onto the other. It's going to be a little bit of a complicated Gemara going on to Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph, and then we're going to start a new topic with the Mishnah halfway down the Amud, and that is how do we identify a dead body in terms of a husband who has died. And the Mishnah and Gemara will get involved with identification of a dead body. That will take us through Kuf Chaf Amud Beis, which will also take us into sugyas of simanim that apply not only here but also in the famous perek Elu Metzius in Bava Metzius. Let's by Yerusha begin Kuf Yutes on the bottom. Shtei Yevamos. If there are two women who are two Yevamos, what does that mean? Rashi explains there are two women who are married to two brothers, so they would be potentially the Yevama to the other one's husband. If one of the women dies and her husband does not have children, so then the brother could be marrying her. Shtei Yevamos, Zoa Meretz Meis Bailey v'Zoa Meretz Beis Miley. Each one says that their husband died. Zoa Sora Mipnei Baila Shel Zo, v'Zoa Sora Mipnei Baila Shel Zo. So Leah, who testifies that her husband died, she's not going to be mutter to the shuk because her husband, let's call him Reuven, has a brother, Shimon. And Shimon is now holding her back from marrying anybody else because there's a mitzvah of Yibum for Shimon to do. Shimon has a wife, Rachel, who testified that he died as well. So each wife testified that her husband died. It doesn't work from one Yevama to the next. As we learn in Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, that Ein Yevama Me'ida Chaverta, as Rashi says, five lines into our Mishnah. Hence, the Halach is Zo Asor Mipnei Baila Shel Zo, V'Zo Asor Mipnei Baila Shel Zo. Each one is going to be Asur in terms of marrying the Shuk, because they have to be. It has to be verified from another source that their potential Yavam is dead. L'Zo Eidim, what happens if one of the women, not only does Leah believe her husband died, but there is also witnesses? As Sheishla Eidim, the wife, Leah, who has witnesses, then Asura, she's still going to be Asur. Let's say Leah was married to Reuven. She's going to be Asur to Shimon, because the only one that testified that Shimon died was Rachel, Shimon's wife. But when it comes to Rachel, Muteres, she's allowed to marry to the Shuk. Why? Because on her own husband, she's believed. And the fact that her Yavam, we don't trust her co-Yavama, in this case, her name was Leah. Nevertheless, once they're Eidim, so we're not going to rely on Leah's testimony, and therefore Rachel can marry to the Shuk. L'zol banim u'l'zay ein banim. What happens if one of these two women has children and one doesn't? Eshiesh l'banim u'teres. The one that has children, she's now allowed to marry the Shuk. V'eshein l'banim asura. But when it comes to the one that doesn't, then there isn't enough testimony vis-a-vis her Yavam is dead, and therefore it has to be verified that the Yavam is dead. Nisiyab mu umesu. Hayibmin. What happens if Rachel and Leah did do Yibum with another brother, and then those brothers died? Asuras l'inase. It's still prohibited for them to remarry to the Shuk, because maybe the other one's husband is still alive. If the only way we know it is from the testimony of the wife, one Yevama cannot testify on behalf of another one, as the Mishnah Kuf Yizayin says. Rabbi Lazar Amahol v'hutru liyim min hutru l'chal adam. For some reason that the Gemara will explain later on, Rabbi Lazar says at once they were allowed to marry the Yavama, then we forget about the fact that once upon a time there was a problem that we don't know for sure that the other Yavam is dead, and then Hutru Lechal Adam. The Gemara continues, 8 lines from the bottom of Kuf Yud Tesam Beis Tana. Lezo Edim Ubanim Ulezo Lo Edim Lo Banim. What happens if, in our case, Leah has both Edim and children? And Rachel doesn't have Edom and doesn't have children. Then things will be a lot better. Shtei and Mutaros. Both of them are going to be able to be mutar to the Shuk. Explains Rashi 2 lines from the bottom. Shtei and Mutaros. Shein kadzikas yibum. There is no yibum in either direction. Zal mipnei bonel. When it comes to Leah, she doesn't have a problem. The fact that Rachel doesn't have Edom because she already has kids, so she's not zkuka liyibum. And when it comes to Rachel, Rachel has Leah's Edom that testify that Leah's husband is dead. So therefore, they're both notaris. Nisyab mu umesu ayubimin asurin lihinase. As we learned in the end of our Mishnah, even if they did yibum according to the Tanakama, if those yibum died, we need to still verify that the other brothers, Rachel and Leah's original husbands, are for sure dead. And the fact that Rachel said it does not help Leah, and the fact that Leah said it does not help Rachel. Rabbi Lazar Amahol v'hutru liyim min hutru l'chal adam. We learned the position of Rabbi Lazar, and that is that once the halacha is that we allowed her to remarry for Yibum, then even though one could argue that the other Yavam might still be alive, let's say in Rachel's case, to argue Leah's husband might still be alive, and we don't accept Leah's testimony vis-a-vis Rachel, Nelis Rabbi Lazar said that the halach is she could remarry, both could remarry. The Gemara now gives us the rationale of Rabbi Lazar. Boi Rava. Rava asked the following shayla in terms of understanding Rabbi Lazar. My time of the Rabbi Lazar. What's Rabbi Lazar's reason? Once that she was able to marry one another Yavam, then we're not concerned that the wife of the other Yavama, the husband of the other Yavama, excuse me, was still alive. What's the reason? Mishum de kasavar tsar mi'id l'chaverta. Is it because that he says that the halacha is we allow them now to testify for each other as a tsara? In other words, really, Rabbi Lazar disagrees with the whole original halacha and says that a tzara can testify on the other. And therefore, Rabbi Lazar holds, there's no reason to have any concern when you have shtei yivamos, zomer is meis baili, vizomer is meis baili. Then in such a case, each one can rely on the other one's testimony. Or maybe here it's different. Mishum dihi lo mekalkala nafsha. A woman is not going to hurt herself. In other words, once we see that this Yavama, based on her testimony, that her husband is dead, let's say Rachel, on her testimony, she's gone and married another Yavam, so then we see she really believes her husband died. Therefore, Leah does not have to be concerned that Rachel's husband is alive, and she's skuka to Rachel's husband, of course, because Rachel and Leah here were married to brothers, Shimon and Levi. Says Gemara, my nafkamina, what's a nafkamina between the two shitas? Lan suve onto kuf chaf amalaf, litzara mikme dida. If you're allowed to have a case in which, according to Rabbi Lazar, a tzara get married before the woman herself who testified about her husband get married. Of course, we had too many pronouns over there, and Rashi does a great job in deciphering the Gemara's pronouns. Says Rashi, on the top of Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph, Lantzuve Letzar Ba'alma Mikmei Didah, Yisha Shalchalam Dinas Hayam, Im Baila. So if you have a case, let's give them names. A woman goes on Dinas Hayam, let's call her again Leah, Ubav Amra Meiz Baili, and Leah comes and says her husband died, Va'isalan Kan Sara, and there was also another woman who had been married to Ruvain, and that was Rachel. Rachel was the Tzara of Leah. Does Rebbe Lazar, we know there are many opinions who say that one Sarah cannot testify on the other, and what Rachel says will have no significance for Leah, and what Leah says has no significance for Rachel, because they're at Sarah. However, According to this opinion of Rabbi Lazar, it could very well be that we accept the testimony of the Tzara, and therefore Rachel will be able to get remarried based on testimony of Leah, even before Leah gets married. E Amrat Tzara, back into the Gemara Mida L'Chaverta, if the position of Rabbi Lazar is that one Tzara could testify on behalf of another, Leah could testify on behalf of Rachel, Af Al Gavdalo Insev, Minsev La L'Tzara, even if Leah didn't get married yet, Rachel could get married. But if the Vart is that Leah is believed vis-a-vis Rachel, because if what Leah is doing is going to hurt her, and once Leah acts on her own testimony, for example, she says her husband dies, and then she remarries somebody else, so she's not going to lie to mess up Rachel, it will also mess her up. That was the second side of the Gemara. Di loy mekalkel nafsha. So itzv masvina le litzara. So then, if Leah got married, then Rachel can. Ilo insev lo mansvina le. If Leah does not get married yet, so then Rachel cannot get remarried. So what is the svara of Rabbi Lazar? Does Rabbi Lazar say every tzara could be ikud dina testify in the other, or will accept the testimony of Tzara once she's already acted and got married based on her testimony? Tashma Rabbi Lazar Amahol, Hutru Yumin, Hutru L'Chol Adam. We learned in our Mishnah, had said that once Leah and Rachel had married two other Yevamos, they're allowed to marry anybody else. Yam Rabbi Shlema Dehila Mekalkala Nafsha. If you're going to say Rabbi Lazar's Svara is that we believe Leah vis-a-vis Rachel, if Leah acted on her testimony that would hurt herself, and she still did it, Hainu, then we understand what the Mishnah means. Dechi insiv min savinanla. That once Leah went and did Yibum, so now Rachel will be able to be married as well. Hainu dechi insiv min savinanla. Eli'i amrit mishum ditzara mi'idu lechaverta. So, but if you say that Leah is always believed vis-a-vis Rachel, afagav de lo insev nami. So why did they have to do Yibum in our Mishnah according to Rabbi Lazar? They should have just said, according to Rabbi Lazar, that Rachel could act based on Leah's testimony. Elishma mina, time of the Rabbi Lazar, mishum de insev hu, v'lo mekalkala nafsha. That once Leah shows that she's willing to act and marry based on what she had said, so then that's a simon that she's not out to get Rachel. The Gemara rejects this svara and suggests possibly another way of understanding Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar devreim kamer lehu. Maybe Rabbi Lazar really holds that a tzara is entirely mutter to be made on her friend. The Nar Mishnah, why did we say, according to Rabbi Lazar, it's only mutter once both of them married their Yevamos? He said, Lidivreim, according to your logic. Lididi, according to me, Rabbi Lazar is going to hold Tzara Mi'idu L'Chaverta, V'afagadulo Insim Mitzavin Allah. Even that a Tzara can't testify, and you don't even need any backup. The fact that Leah acted on it, you don't need that. We just simply believe her vis-a-vis Rachel. El L'Ditchu, but Rabbi Lazar is going to say, according to you, Oda L'Mias, you should at least admit to me, De'echa the Insim Mitzavin Allah, Mishundi Lo Mikalkala Nafsha, that if Leah went so far to act on her testimony and herself get remarried, she would never do that if she knows her husband is dead. Says the Gemara, the Rabbanon disagree with Rabbi Lazar in that Svara for a fascinating reason. Rabbanon, we have this reference also on Kuf Yud Ches, Tomus Nafshi in Plishtin Huda Ka'avda. There's some women who their hatred is so vicious, men too, women who their hatred is so vicious for another, they'll actually hurt themselves in order to mess up their enemy. So in this case, Leah will try to convince everybody that she's telling the truth because she wants to mess up Rachel. She'll marry someone to prove that her husband is really dead, and it turns out all she's doing is setting Rachel up to get Rachel into trouble. Tashma. Come in here, I'll bring you a proof on this Shaila of which way Rabbi Lazar is going. Does Rabbi Lazar hold every Tzara is always Nemenes, or only if she acted on it? We learned earlier in Kuf Yud Ches, a woman that went with her husband to a foreign country, above Amram Meis Baili, and she says her husband died, she's allowed to take her Ksuba, Tzarasa Asura. And the Tzara is Asura, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar said, once she is permissible, then her tzara is also permissible. The Gemara is being medayik, explains Rashi, three lines from the top of Kuf Chaf Amar Aleph, Alma Mishas Heter Dida Shirin Letzarasa, which seems like the moment that she says her husband died, Rebbe Lazar holds that her tzara is also mutter. So what do we see? The tzara is nem menes, according to Rebbe Lazar. Says the Gemara, no, you could reread it. Ema hol v'hutra v'nises. Only after the woman who had gone Medina Sayyam gets remarried, then her tzara is allowed to. Asks the Gemara, v'leichosh dilma begita asai. If we're afraid that even according to Rebbe Lazar, she's going to come to mess up her tzara, so why don't we be concerned that maybe she got her get from her husband in Medina Sayyam? And she's still messing up her tzara even after she gets married, because she was divorced from the husband Medina Sayyam, but the tzara was never. Says Gemara, you're right. If she married Yisrael, there's no proof, and therefore the tzara cannot be remarried. Get remarried. Hachanami. But in our case, the insiv l'kohen. If she marries a kohen, then she will not mess herself over by getting married to a kohen if her husband is not truly dead. Because if she was divorced, a divorcee cannot marry a kohen. An almana can marry a kohen hedyot. Be'ezras Hashem, we begin the next Mishnah. Ein me'idin el al parts of ponim imachotem aval pi sheyesh simanim bigufo bekeilav. This is a fascinating halacha, and that is that the way in which you verify a man's identity, presumably a woman as well, of course here we say man because we're talking about verifying the husband's dead so a woman could remarry, through his nose, with his nostrils, even if he has other obvious features on him or on his clothing, we look at his nose. We have a Musar Shmuz from years ago where we spoke about the power of smell as being the bridge between the Olam HaRuchni and the Olam HaGashmi, and it's not a coincidence that the most defining characteristic in the physical part of a human being's body, this is not a Jewish joke, this is the Halacha and the Mishnah is also Jewish, is by the Jewish man's nose, by a man's nose. And that's because, one could argue, Al Pi Ruchnius, and that is that the nose is the link between the physical world and the spiritual world, where every neshama is different, vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chaim, hence every nose is also different. And therefore, as Gemara will analyze, the nose is more of a defining characteristic than anything else. Eimi idin ela achetetzei nafsho. The only time we could accept testimony that a man is dead is if the person was there when he saw that the body was lifeless. Even if he sees the body totally decimated into pieces, he's got to see it lifeless. You could only testify on a body that it's the husband within 3 days of the death. Otherwise, we're afraid that the body decomposed. Every situation, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava argues, is different. Tana Rabbanan, we have a brisa that discusses other defining characteristics. Padachas velo partsuf. If you see the forehead without the rest of the face. Velo partsuf panim. Parts of panim velo padachas ein me'idin. Achu shneim imachotim. You need both of them with the nose. Amar Abai v'item Rav Kana Mikra hikarta panim. Excuse me. Hakaras pneim. Ansubam, pasuk in Yeshayo. When you recognize the face, then you could say something about it. Says Rashi, we see that there is no edus except if there is a heker ponim. Abba Bar Marta, duhu Abba Bar Minyumi. Abba Bar Marta was also known as Abba Bar Minyumi. Havimaski bei devei resh gelusa. Zuzi took the resh gelusa to task for the fact that he owed him money. Icy Kira. He took wax, dibek bichlisa. He placed wax on his head to have himself not noticeable. He wanted to cover up his identity. I misspoke before. I said that the Reish Galusa owed Abba Bar Minyumi money. Unfortunately, it was the other way around. It was Abba Bar Minyumi who owed the Reish Galusa money. That would actually make more sense. The Reish Galusa was the wealthy one. So then, Abba Bar Minyumi put this wax over his face. Isakari Dabik Bakalusa Dabik Bap Pusei Cholif Kabayit, we passed in front of him, Velo Bishakrua, and he didn't recognize him. So we see that even if all the other features are not covered, if the face is covered, then a person's identity is masked, and therefore one needs the identifying feature of being able to see the face. The Gemara goes on to analyze the next part of the Mishnah that seems to indicate that we don't consider simanim a significant way of verifying the identity of a person or an object. Afalpi, we learned in our Mishnah, sheyesh simanim begufo, even if there are simanim, so we don't take them seriously. We don't use them as a defining characteristic. The Gemara now globalizes that issue to a very basic question that's discussed in Bava Metzia, and that is whether these features, simanim, are valid to identify something on min ha-Torah. Says the Gemara, remember the simanim lavda raisa reminu. Matza kosher bekis ubarniki ubetabas. A man finds a get that is laying in a particular area, in a wallet or in a ring, and then he wants to know if this is the same get that was lost and could be used by, let's say the husband lost it, and could be used by the husband to give to his wife to be sure that she is divorced on a level of d'oraisa. Maybe the get was mixed up. Oshinimza ben Caleb, afilu is mamruba kosher. Why? Because of course it has identifying features. It has his name, it has her name. So we see that simanim work on a level of d'oraisa. Amar Abaye lo kasha, Rabbi Elazar ben Mavoi harabanan. This is machlokis tanoim. This anya eimi idin ala shuma. You don't testify. One cannot testify and identify a corpse of a missing man based on a wart. If he has a particular identifying wart, that is the opinion of the Tanakam. Rabbi Elazar ben Avoy am Meidin. Rabbi Elazar ben Avoy says you can testify based on that. In other words, identify a man based on a unique feature. My lab hakamifli could very well be that this is the machlokas. The mar savar simanim deraisa, mar savar simanim derabbanan. Rabbi Elazar ben Avoy holds that simanim work on the deraisa, while Tanakam only it's the rabbanan. On my Rava, on the first wide line, on the bottom, Rava says the kuli alma simanim deraisa. Everybody holds that simanim are deraisa. Hacha b'shuma mitsuya b'ben gilo kamifligi. The machlokis is whether a wart is common for a man of that age. Marsavar shuma mitsuya b'ben gilo, marsavar eina mitsuya b'ben gilo. It's not common for a man to have that particular wart, and therefore we won't accept that piece of information. Vikadamri, others say, says Gemara three lines from the bottom, halcha b'shuma asuya l'shtanos achar misa kamiflagi. We're talking about a feature that is likely to change after the body becomes a corpse. Marisavar suyu l'shtanis achar miso, marisavar inu suyu l'shtanis achar miso. Machlokis revolves about whether that particular feature is likely to change. V'kodami adi seyam ravad kuli alma simanim dirabbanan. You could explain the other direction also, the even Rabbi Elazar Avayi holds that simanim only work on a level of dirabbanan, but simanim muvak kam miflagi. That they're arguing if there is a concept of a simon muvak that is an identifying feature, even though most simonim are not considered muvak. There are some things that are so unique to a person that go beyond the regular case of simonim, like we had of a get that is identifiable by its name, but it doesn't show that it's particularly this chayim's and this saras. So then in such a case, then that might be not be considered simin d'oraisa. But there are some features that are simin muvak. Mar savar simin muvak, hu mar savar la simin muvak. And that's what the machlokus is. Says the Gemara Ulach, lishna d'alma rava simanim d'oraisa, haktani afal pi shiyes simanim begufu v'kelav. We learned that even though simanim are d'oraisa, yet for some reason, in our Mishnah, we say that we don't follow the simanim on his guf. Why don't we? Aren't simanim d'oraisa? Answers the Gemara, gufo. The reason why we don't accept those simanim is because they're very, very weak simanim. They gave simanim d'aroch the guts. Either if he was very tall or he was very short. That is not a very conclusive simanim at all. Kalev, the reason why his utensils, the chayshina l'she'ela, in Bava Metzia we consider the ownership of utensils as not being entirely proven by who has it, because it could be borrowed. Says the Gemara, v'i chayshina l'she'ela, if that would be so, so then let's carry it through for all of Maseches Bava Metzia. Chamar b'simane ukav heichom adrina, the Gemara tells us on Daf Chav Zayin that you could return in Bava Metzia, that you could turn a horse based on its saddle, the simanim of its saddle. Answers the Gemara, lo yishayli inish ukva. People generally don't lend out the saddle, the miskev, le lechamara, because if it doesn't fit the horse or donkey correctly, so then it will hurt the donkey. Matzah kashu b'kisu b'anikyu b'tabas heichem adrinan. If it's found in the wallet, how do you return it? Didn't we just get through saying that when it comes to Kalim, we're choshesh l'she'ela, we're choshesh that it's going to be lent out? Answers the Gemara, tabas chayish l'ziyufe. Kisva arniki minchesh inshi v'lo mashli. Ring, which has a signet on it, people don't lend out because they're afraid that their signature is going to be forged. The money holders, the kiss and the arniki, so then in such a case, people are superstitious and they don't lend them out. Minchishin shivalo mishuli, because they somehow associate lending it out as confusing their luck. V'ibay yisema, another answer, kelav b'chivare v'simuke. When it comes to the utensils, so then in such a case, the identifying features don't work if it's simply colored, but there are other identifying features of the utensils that one could rely on in the get. For example, in this case, the get also were sitting in these objects that had other identifying features. We learned in our Mishnah Afilu Maguyad that if a person sees an individual, God forbid, is entirely cut to a point that he would be cut, that he would bleed to death, nevertheless, until he sees the person die, he cannot testify that he's dead. Asks the Gemara, Lememra de Meguyet Chaye, do we say that someone who stabbed in such a manner normally lives? Uriminu, we learned, Adam Eina Mitame Achetetse Navsha Fil Meguyet Vafilu Goseis, that the halacha is that the corpse is not Mitame, if it's, God forbid, in such a position, until it actually dies. It deduces the Gemara, that it won't defile, but it won't necessarily live. It won't live, period. That's Machlos and Rablazar and Rab Shimon Elazar and the Rabban Nisanya. Me'idin al Meguyid, ve me'idin al Hatzaluv. There are two different ways a person could be cut. One is that he's been stabbed, and the other way is actually not cut, but is killed. And that is someone who is hung. So, according to the Tanakhama, you can testify on a person who has been stabbed that he is dead. He's definitely going to die. Reb Shimon Elazar Amer, Afal Maguyid Emi'idim Pei Shiyocho L'Chavos L'Kayos. Reb Shimon Ben Elazar says that if the wound is appropriately dressed, so then there is a possibility of saving the person's life. Asks the Gemara, could you follow Reb Shimon ben Elazar? Mi matzis lokmi k'Reb Shimon ben Elazar v'aktani seifa. But didn't we learn in seifa ma'isa ba'asya be'echad shishil shulu liyam v'lo asa biyadam el araglo? A person who had drowned and they found his legs, God forbid, but not the rest of the body. If they find his hip to the ankle, so then in such a case, it's considered enough of identifying feature. To that case, he could get remarried. But if it doesn't go all the way up the legs, then it's not considered identifying feature. So what do we see? That even in a Mayim She'ela himself, where, as the Gemara described earlier, the waters go on forever, and maybe the person survived on the other side, this is enough of a feature, and we're not choshesh that he was that he survived. So too, if he's stabbed in a way that a person would normally die, we don't have reason to believe, like the opinion of Reb Shimon ben Elazar, that the person will live. Answers the Gemara, Shani Maya Demarzu Maka. Water is different because it compounds any injury. It's not exactly clear what the Gemara means, but it compounds injury, and therefore the person is more likely to die. I saw this particular Arab, the Shakal Safsare, he took a sword, the Gai de la Gamle, and he cut his camel, the Sikte la Naruse, and he didn't even finish his screaming in his childish way, and the camel didn't finish its bay, and it already had died. The camel immediately died. Amar Baye, Ahi, Kechisha Avoy. This camel was weak. Maybe that's why he killed the camel, and that was why you can't bring a raya that automatically when a living being is stabbed, it will die. Amar Abaye, Rava Amar, Besakim Uluvenes V'divrei Akol. Rava suggests that was unique because that he was using a heated sword, and in such a case, then the halacha is going to be different. Normally, a person will die based on a stab wound. However, if it's a hot sword, then that is more likely to cause the wound to heal. We don't understand this entirely biologically as well. I don't understand it. Poskim do discuss in regards to Hilchos Trefos what the implication of this Gemara is, but here Rava is assuming that there might be some of a greater likelihood for a person or an animal to survive if the sakin is hot, in contrast to if it's not. We are going to conclude over here. This concludes Be'ezer Hashem, Daf Kuf Chaf in Maseches Yevamos.